G'day everyone, this is Tommy and Josh's new show called The Daily Talk Show.
Yeah.
Tommy Jacket.
Hey.
This is episode one. It is January 16. It's a Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, and we're doing a bit of a intro to recap just what we did. We just finished it.
Yeah.
So what can you expect out of this half hour?
Nostalgia. Heaps of nostalgia. And I promise every episode's not going to be nostalgic.
No, I actually think back on what we just listened to.
I love thinking back.
And listening and thinking back on what we just spoke about is not something you talk about every episode. No. So we talk about who the hell we are, where we've come from. We intro each other and get...
Me being strangled as a kid, you being a naughty boy.
That's about it. So enjoy the half hour.
Yeah. And remember, feel free to use the PO box. It's PO box 400 Abbotsford 3067. Thank you. Episode one.
You look so fucking awkward right now, how you're having to lean over to this microphone. Get comfortable.
There we go. I feel great. Sorry about my shit chairs, by the way.
Yeah, they're noisy as hell. You didn't put them together.
I tried to. If you can hear, I've got some fizzy water. Well, you can't hear it.
Yeah.
It's there. My name's Josh.
My name's Tommy.
And welcome to the daily, what is it called? The Daily Talk Show. That's the domain name.
The dailytalkshow.com. And it's only 5 days a week.
Yeah.
That's correct, right?
Which I think, I did a Google search. I saw that the New York Times have something called The Daily.
Yeah.
And they do it once. They do it every weekday. So they get a break. So why shouldn't we?
All right. We'll do that. I reckon we introduce each other.
Okay.
So do you want to introduce me first?
Okay. Yeah, I will.
All right.
Tommy Jacket was born in 1988.
Solid.
He grew up... going to a bunch of different schools, or like two schools at least.
Four.
Thank you. And he has spent the last 15 years making things. He realized early on in his life that school wasn't for him, left a little bit early and started building.
Year 11.
Left, yeah. Not year nine. I thought it was year nine.
Mate, I did no work from pretty much year nine onwards.
You left in year seven. You probably...
Mentally, I left.
But they... so you are... I would consider you an entrepreneur that maybe only a few years ago was a wannabe... A wantrepreneur, as they call it. You have done the whole media thing... Tried working within street teams, radio stations. You are well known within the community, having spent Sunday with you around your area. Everyone seems to know Tommy Jacket. We got free halloumi fries because of it.
That was good. That was from somebody that I worked with on the street team.
And so massive respect for that. and now you have gone from Tommy Jacket, the rebellious kid that was once described as a naughty boy by some teacher at a school.
Yeah, I'll tell that story 100% on this.
And have turned into a dad, a husband, and an entrepreneur that's building a business. You are the perfect mix of alpha and alpha and self-aware and emotionally intelligent. So that is Tommy Jacket. And I think the biggest surprise of you is, while you would be the kind of guy who you might see at a fight in a pub, you're also the same guy to be having a DM with in the corner of that same pub.
Tommy with Jacket, the guy everyone. I just
with, with the guy that you just beat the shit out of. You're like, mate, let's sit down and chat now. What do you think? Is that an okay? What have I missed?
No, that was good. I was on radio, and so what I was thinking, the reason I say that,
yeah,
is because the energy you need to bring when you're actually on radio, because you've got like 3 minutes to come out of a song, talk, and then into a song.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between that and doing a podcast and your energy is a lot lower than, in my head, it must be like a trigger,
yeah,
that I thought it was just going to be this more high energy thing, but I don't think that would be sustainable.
I worry that I'm like too low energy sometimes. I feel like even when I did that YouTube, video,
yeah,
on digital stuff, and we were like, man, that's, you're so fucking,
yeah,
boring.
Yeah, you're at about that level now.
I am, aren't I?
You're at that.
Do we need to start again? Like, let's...
No, we can't start again.
We can't promised. Start again, but I can sort of lift up my energy now from...
From now.
There we go.
All right, I'll let you have a break. So the intro for you.
There we go. I'm smiling and it helps.
Yeah, it does. I'm always smiling, but this is not about me. This is about you. You're the weirdest motherfucker I know in the kindest possible way.
You know a lot of weird... I mean, you live in St Kilda.
Yeah. You're a mix of weirdness. You don't have street smarts. You're very intelligent. Gauging social situations is probably not your strong point,
mm-hmm.
but then you'll think about it and work it out because you're so smart.
Thank you.
So you'll build your toolkit of how to interact by the failure that you've had in the past.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
Yeah.
I just wrote this here.
Oh, you're right.
This is my to-do list, right? Okay, and it's nothing to do with our show, but I thought it was worth putting in. You were that friend that is like the old person, i.e. my mother, who relies on me for help with things like the interweb,
uh-huh.
Facebook.
You are your mum and I am the kid helping you.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
So I feel that safety with you, i.e. when I write, ask Josh on my to-do list before I leave this house to fix my email thing and to show me how to edit the photos. So you were very savvy with all things new age.
Yeah. I've always enjoyed technology.
Yeah. You're a couple of years younger than me.
Mm-hmm. 1990.
But somehow you've been hanging around the people that I know in some regard, even though you grew up in the outer suburbs of Melbourne.
Mm-hmm. Endeavour Hills.
Endeavour Hills, which I grew up in Brighton.
Yeah.
So I'm like right amongst it.
You're like the, I know this is specifically not about you, but you, like in regards to Brighton, you are the poor kid on the block.
Yeah.
Brighton. No,
just one thing. My parents bought a house in a place called Gardenvale. Yeah. It turned into Brighton. They did well after it turned into Brighton.
Perfect.
So yeah, you're the kid that's always popped up. We first started working together. I wanted to be a presenter and you were making videos.
Yeah.
And how old were you then?
I was 19.
So 18, you're 19.
18.
You're 19. I'm doing some presenting in front of the camera.
Mm.
And it was this awkward exchange. I was shit at it.
It was the O week. I feel like the expectations were so low.
Yeah.
But it was literally like following you around as you said, oh, what are you doing at O week?
Yeah.
You cringeworthy.
So you've been in film, making videos.
Yeah.
For the good portion of your existence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Seems like you were born, what year?
1990. Yeah.
So you had all, like cameras were pretty accessible by the time you were...
Yeah, it wasn't like it is today, but no. I remember the first camera and it would have been like 2001.
Yeah.
And it was my uncle's and he was going away and we were using it. And then after that, I would have been like grade 6 and just started making films.
So you're creative and you could probably make more than you do, which is kind of why we're doing this.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like I'm...
You're the cowboy.
Yeah.
Like we've always spoken about Tommy being a cowboy and what that means is he's... because he's very good at experimentation and there's a sense that you're playing above your weight class in a lot of respects. So you've been very good at saying, oh yeah, there's a big client name. I haven't done that before, but I'm going to give it a crack. And at you've turned in from a cowboy who would sometimes shoot himself in the foot but still get the job done to being able to actually hone a craft and actually get way better than anyone who would have played within their space. You're the kid who was in under-13s footy, and they never had an under-13s team, so you're playing in under-16s, and you've gotten your ass kicked, but now you are at a way bigger, better position. Does that make sense? My first footy analogy on the Daily Talk Show.
I've learned heaps from you. I think that's what you do for a lot of people. You teach them even if they don't want to be taught, or you
offer advice. That was the feedback that we had when we saw that some people that you knew near Luna Park, where I saw it as an opportunity to be like, look, this is what I think you guys should do with your life. I know you
never
just bought
met you.
I know that you just bought a house. Have you thought about this, this, and this? And obviously, I know that's the way you feel about 4-hour work week, but maybe you would get something out of this. And maybe
as you'll notice,
got the wrong perspective.
Josh goes on tangents that need a lot of context, so bear with him.
Well, and that's why this is daily. Hopefully, you build up enough context that by the end of it, you feel like you understand what's going on. But this, the idea of this, so I don't know how we bring up the energy. I think this is just a low energy one.
Is it?
But this, no, I don't know if it's
well,
low
I'm
energy.
More, I am, my mate called me yesterday. I'm like a dog with 3 dicks.
What does that mean?
I think it's dogs hump things. I've got 3 of them. Therefore, I'm like,
you got like
I'm
fingers
mad.
In every. Okay,
I'm like mad. I'm lots of energy.
Yeah, sure.
I've got 6 nuts over here. And I've gone mad. Whereas sometimes you are, give you a few coffees, you've lost your head.
And I never drank coffee up until recently. But this show, it's like 30 minutes every single weekday. And why do you think, why have you agreed to make it? It's
not to be famous.
Uh-huh. But I mean, you're already famous in Brighton. For like shitting in some neighbor's letterbox or something, I'm sure.
I want to make this because I actually honestly think that I am less in my head when I'm making more things. Mm. So I'm making like 100 videos this year.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking like
I'm making 110, which is really
cool. I've just ended up here today making this with you, but it doesn't feel like I don't feel like it won't be achievable. Because I think you know inside when you're like, nah, I actually couldn't do that. For you and I, you're like one of the only guy mates I've got. I've got probably 2 others, but I don't talk to them. But you and I will talk on the phone, right? Yeah. And just...
Do you not talk on the phone? Some people are weird about talking on the phone.
No, I like talking on the phone, but I just don't do it with everybody. Like I've got a couple... I think most people would probably have 1 or 2 friends. Yeah. That they talk to.
Yeah, that's true.
And you're one of them. So talking with you is very easy. So that's another reason I agreed to make this.
Yeah, great. Yeah, no, I think it's just about like this year for me is about creative momentum. And I think that we can create barriers to entry of why we can't do things. And this is a way of just removing that element. And also I'm fucking sick of just like, I had a podcast called Josh Speaking where I interviewed people.
I've never listened to an episode ever.
It got some good apps. But the thing is that it's like that interview style is just, it's good. It's fine. But I think that there's like an opportunity for all this other cool shit.
Yeah.
So this is an opportunity where 2 mates can talk every day and talk about the world, talk about just... stories and dumb shit and have a really low barrier to entry. No like music in between. Like you might just be in your car on your way to work, or you might be like struggling to go to sleep, or you know, like just going for a walk on a Melbourne sunny day. I think that what I'm excited
Josh
about...
Josh has overthought all of that. That's him. That's that his overthinking coming out.
I did,
because
I did
where
tell...
You
what did I tell? Because I told Tommy that before I started, I'm like, I really want to do a bit where Smooth FM does this great bit, like Richard Wilkins and like Melissa Doyle. They'll say, oh, you know, they'll describe what you're doing. And I just love when they nail it. Like I'll be in the car and they'll be like, so you're in the car. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I am.
I'll tell you what we've nailed this episode is the energy that Richard Wilkins brings.
I think that's the thing. I don't know if I can do Smooth. I think like, I don't know, like Would this be how we talk on... How do we talk on the phone?
You get a lot more wild.
Yeah.
I don't know. You get into things. I think...
But I get a bit like to the point where I'm speaking so quickly that I'm not making any sense. Like that.
I think there's a difference between you and I telling each other a story and us kind of doing a first episode where we're talking about what we're doing. So...
I don't know why your mic levels are a little bit lower than mine. I reckon it's all about the how close I am to the mic.
I was saying also before we started recording is I've had two radio shows with two...
Both hosts have told you you've had bad mic etiquette.
Get fucked. You know, the thing is though, when you're in radio, half the time it equalizes everything. Like I was never that far away.
What do they pay you for regional radio? How does it work?
What do they pay?
Yeah, what do they pay?
50 grand.
50 grand. Is that like across the board, do you reckon?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. $55,000.
Okay.
For the amount of work you have to put in,
yeah.
It's peanuts.
Yeah.
But it's all
It's almost
learning.
Like you're getting paid to go to school.
Yeah, 100%. Regards,
right? It's like, and you're banking on the fact that this will be a thing. So what does that work out a day? We don't need to...
$1,400 a fortnight or something ridiculous. It's like $700 a week.
Yeah.
It was fine
Did
when
you
you're
ever
living.
Have any... So you were in Shepparton for how long?
Near 2 years of being... Started in like Feb.
And so that would have been like a breakfast show where you would be like, hey, it's Tommy and Stacey.
We'll play clips.
For your breakfast.
Yeah. So there's like an opener and then it's... you'd do like an opener as well.
Would you... Was it really... Oh, fuck. I'll tell you a quick story about what I did. I actually feel a bit triggered by this. It's regarding a regional show.
Really?
When I went to London for the Olympics for Fifi and Jules, Sam Kavanagh, who was executive producer of that show, or he was some content dude, he's hanging around. Anyway, he had given me this Heath and Normie. Mm. Heath and Normie had some promo and they had taken a torch all around Australia and it was going to be in London and they're going to have a photo of it in London. And so Sam said to me, oh, Josh, like these guys, they want to just do a bit. They're going to speak to you while you're in London and it's going to be a great end to their whole thing, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I remember... for whatever reason, I'd been like super busy and I hadn't, they wanted to talk to me before I was going and stuff, but they faked it somehow because I wasn't available. Anyway, I just remember, I was so busy with all the London stuff that I never got it done. And I remember giving the torch to someone and we just lost the torch. And I never did any like break for them. Like I never spoke to them about it. No idea.
This poor bastard's on 55 grand a year.
I found a photo and they just sent this thing all around. I remember it was yellow. It had like permanent marker on it. And I found a photo that I took on my like Google Photos. I've been backing up on my photos of that. And I felt so triggered because I'm like, that was like a commitment where it's like that show, that was their what Hamish and Andy's equivalent of, mate, that's your phone.
Sorry,
that's like the equivalent of like bloody the fucking private jet tour. That's their version of it.
Mm.
And it's like, I've had the private jet. And I'm like, no, guys, sorry. I can't do it. Isn't that, I feel real bad about that. Have you got any of those like moments in your head of like little commitments that are like 15 years old that you still think about?
I don't think like that. That's the difference between my head and yours. You hold on to a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
And you feel bad about it. I'm not saying I don't feel bad.
Yeah.
But there's definitely, I can't remember half that stuff. I'm sure I'll think about it.
I'll
see if I can get one.
I found some old photos from a teacher. A teacher gave me $300. I wasn't in her class, but she wanted made up like a slideshow of her class, her year 10 class that she could give to them. And she gave me the money in advance.
And this is you, a little editor who knows
how
to
exactly.
put it
and
together.
I'm like,
on
and I thought it was wrapped and she's obviously like, I'm going to support this editor. I'm going to do it and all that sort of thing. And I remember I just like, you know, it was just one of those jobs where it just like felt bigger than what it needed to be. And I was like overthinking it and I never delivered it. And I still have in my wardrobe all of the photos that need to be scanned, all the CDs that she gave me of all the photos. And also even all of the photos printed out on like a contact sheet where she'd circled and crossed the ones that she wanted. And a part of me wanted to go on to Facebook, find her and send her back the box of all the photos. I mean, this is 15 years ago.
What's her name?
Roshni is her name.
Roshni who?
Roshni. I think she's married now, but it's Roshni Soans. But I feel embarrassed about it because like
you took her money.
I think it was $300.
You've been a con artist since how old?
Yeah, I would have been 16. So do you think? So that was like, what's that? That's like 13 years ago or something. But do you think I
That'd be funny. That'd be funny.
It's not even about funny content. Like no, but I mean, you're always thinking about content. We're going to call this show All for Content because I've got the .com, but we haven't. But anyway. No, but how do you get rid of it? Like, I can't have that thing. I haven't had the heart to chuck it out.
Why? Give it to me. I'll dump it.
No way. Then because you know what's going to happen? They're going to be like, hey, Josh, fuck. I mean, knock on wood, this isn't going to happen. But it's like, hey, hi, Josh, this is Roshni's family. Roshni's passed away.
Oh, no. See, and this is you overthinking.
And she's asked, she's said... We've seen a note here that says that you were going to deliver this thing and it would be really beautiful to play it at her funeral. That is, I know that's so fucked up, but that's what I think about. I'm like, oh man, so I can't get rid of it. So, but is it too weird just to be like, because I also don't want to open up the conversation. It feels like even me talking about it now feels like I'm opening it up. Where it's like, all I want to do is be able to give her the $300 back. And like, I'm fucking breathing, anxious breathing because of this.
How long have we been going for?
20 mins.
You said
that 30 mins was going to be hard. Not when I've got like, this is my psychologist, the psychology, but I'm cancelling any psychologist that I was going to have. And I'm just going to come here.
You can contact her. It is simple as, hey, I remember I was going to do this job for you. If you don't care about parting with $300 and giving it back to her, because she might ask for that, but she might just say, oh, great.
Oh, no, the thing is she would never, like the thing is she's never going to, she probably wouldn't, this is 13 years
ago. Whose money was it?
Would have been hers.
Personal money. It wasn't the school's.
No, it would have been cash, personal money.
But hang on, how did you feel when you didn't deliver?
Well, because the thing
is, we just walked past your hairdresser and you got awkward because you didn't want to be seen by the guy who cuts your hair that you've stopped going to.
Yeah, I think
it's $80 for a short back and size.
Because it was every single year, it was like, okay, that's going to, like, we're going to do that now. So I'm like, hey, I'm struggling to pick which photos. Can you do that bit and that? And then it just, like, after 2 years and 3 years, it sort of just gets lost.
And right now you work with big clients that pay you a lot of money and you actually execute them.
Yeah.
So you learned from your mistakes.
I did. I think that, like, and... So I'm breathing again. I think that, you know, when you talk about people being triggered and stuff like that, I think that so much of like people's reactions to emails and like, hey, you're working on that thing. They're just freaking out about Roshni and the fact that you haven't delivered on the thing and that's all coming.
I get triggered. If you're asking about being triggered, I definitely do about some things.
Yeah.
More around the school, you mentioning the teachers that I used to always get in trouble, or I was at least the person that was pointed at and blamed for something that went on.
But was it you?
Not always. No, 100% not. And so this is just a quick story. Probably 14, 15, we went to a party. So I lived in Brighton, got dropped at a party in Mordialloc, 30 minutes away, in this big warehouse. And it was like a 15th birthday, whatever. Anyway, so it was like a bit of a disco and there was a DJ and people had brought some Red Bears and some Woodies.
What's Red Bears? Is that
these
alcohol?
Are vodkas.
Oh, nothing. I don't drink.
Josh never drinks. How many times have you drank?
Keep it quick. My whole life, like 5 times.
Okay, 5 times. Anyway, I drank at least 100 times at this age. Sure. And so someone had stashed these Woodstocks or Red Bears behind the DJ booth in this house.
Yeah.
And the dad was poking around behind the booth and found these. They were, hand on heart, not mine.
Yeah.
He came straight up to me, Mind you, he was a teacher at the school that I went to.
Uh-oh.
And he grabbed me by the fucking jumper, dragged me outside, took me down the stairs and kicked me out. And I hadn't done it. And he just knew that I was the naughty boy.
Yeah.
And he kicked me out. And I just remember there's nothing worse than feeling
the injustice. Oh, and also because it's like, I have done that before, but I haven't this time. It's really annoying.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can really be defensive and own it when you have been. And so, yeah, I lost it. But my mum at that time, she here's the problem. I've got a kid now, and I think if my kid tells me that he didn't do something, I'll believe him straight away, and then I'll go into bat for him.
Yeah.
And my mum, luckily,
though, isn't it? So she always did that.
She always went into bat for me.
So would that mean that you would never lie to her?
I'd never lie to her about something like this.
Okay.
I'd be like, oh yeah, I did it, but I didn't do this. And she fucking called him up. Oh, gave him a good spell.
Talking about your mum's defending. Like mums defending their kids. I remember I sent an email to the program director of 3SER in the city of Casey. I would have been like 12. And I said that I wanted to be a DJ, all this stuff. And he wrote back to me, no joke. He's like, first of all, they're radio announcers. Right, this guy was a fucking asshole, right? And this is like a 12-year-old kid, and this dude would have been like in his 60s.
You keep every email. Do you still have this?
No, I think that was pre-05.
Okay.
So I don't have things before 05. So this would have been from a Hotmail address.
So he's an asshole.
Yeah, and so mum contacted him, gave him a call. I got an invite around to the station basically have my own show. And I was like, oh, fuck it. Like, we're not doing it. And because mum was super, super cross. I remember when I was, I wonder what stories are going to get us in trouble. This one I think's okay. When I was 11, everything happens around the same sort of time. I was just like, that like going from primary school to high school was quite transformative. But this is grade 6, just after the Sovereign Hill camp. And I bought some real handcuffs. And it was my birthday. And my relatives were all around for my birthday. And my uncle, who in my head at the time, he was a bit of a know-it-all, had said that my handcuffs weren't real. So I told him to put his hands behind his back. He was in my room. And I put them on really tight. And then I said, okay, try and get out of them. And he couldn't. And I just pushed him onto my bed. So he was like face down. And he was screaming. He said, it's too tight. It's hurting. And then I was like laughing so hard, obviously. And then he undid them. I undid them for him.
Yeah.
And he like strangled me. Like he grabbed my neck. Not for long. But I've always omitted this part of the story because it's a little bit dark. But then mum said, oh, what's the redness around your neck? And I said, oh, Uncle Blah Blah was strangling me before. Because
and it sounded so outrageous. Yeah, she didn't believe like, you.
No, she believed it. And she said, that's disgusting. Like, out. Like, and we didn't see them for 4 years.
And because of that?
Because of that. Because of like they left in a half. And it was like one of those, like I was always the catalyst for family disputes, made a cousin cry, like who was like 15 years older than me.
I could imagine you would have been annoying as hell, but you probably don't need to strangle a kid, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that in hindsight, it's probably like, yeah, you'd probably do that. I normally omit the strangle bit and just say that I undid it.
Well, there's a pattern here. The only reason I'm here today is because I got the email from your mum who told me if I don't do it, Josh will be upset and he won't talk to you again.
I think, it's funny, isn't it? It's, there's so many, like when you're a kid, like you just look at like, do you look on your childhood fondly?
Yeah. Oh, it's pretty restless.
Yeah.
But I feel triggered even thinking about that, actually.
Yeah.
School was the thing I had most, but I got through it. And that's the thing. Life now, fucking awesome. Yeah. As an adult, like having responsibility, can be annoying sometimes, but it's like liberating in terms of you get to do what you want to do, or you get to make the choices. So
I'm trying this whole like power of now thing, because I like, fuck, if you think about what we've spoken about, it's been all nostalgic shit. We've literally spent like the whole episode in 10 years ago. Like every story that I've told was from 2000. And
let's wrap it up. My back's sore on this chair.
I think I've got a P.O. box, which I'm pumped about.
We're going to talk about the fact that you have a P.O. box.
Yeah, we'll talk about another that tomorrow. But people can send us shit.
All right, what's the P.O. box?
P.O. box 400 Abbotsford 3067.
Mate, if we fucking get something in a P.O. box...
Just send us anything. I'll be blown away. I've got a medium-sized P.O. box, so I can fit medium-sized things. But if you send big packages, I'll just get like a note. I'm getting bogged down.
Either way, we're going to talk about different stuff. It's not going to be nostalgia of our childhoods every episode.
No.
But I think the thing about this is consistency and putting them out and having these conversations all the time.
Yeah, I feel better about it. And sorry about the low energy. I think that like it's
where
also...
Where the fuck did that come from? The burger you ate before?
I think it was.
Patties?
It was the two patty. But it's also like I'm really wary of not peaking the mic.
You're caring too much.
Yeah,
I've peaked the mic probably 40 times.
Yeah, no, you haven't, because you've got a fucking terrible mic. You are quieter than I am. But
You can pump that up in post-production. I've done a bit of that before.
Yeah, we're going to do that. So fix it in post. So we're both on YouTube. We're both trying to build that up as well. New videos coming soon.
Yeah.
When are you finishing the one with me and Bodie?
I'm going to finish. I'm going to edit some of that today.
Okay, cool.
But
great. Yeah. All right, everyone. You've been listening to the Daily Talk Show. The Daily Talk Show.
The good
show.
Thing about fucking up the name is that we can then just change it.
Yeah, exactly. It's not... I mean, it's... The funny thing is we went in being like, let's not... Like, what's like a really like specific name? It can't be too generic. And we've landed on The Daily Talk Show.
The Daily Talk Show.
But yeah, thanks for... thedailytalkshow.com. You can email us from there. Use the PO box, please. And subscribe on iTunes, because we've got that set up and shit too. But this is going to be every day for all the weekdays and shit. So that's exciting, isn't it? We will have some guests on, I think. We might call some people and shit, but we'll see. Cool, mate.
Peace out.
Peace out.